Thursday, July 1st, 2015. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and we bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. We're not going to give you the same takes that you're going to find on other sports shows. We're not going to just regurgitate that same information that you find on in some of these mass media outlets. If you want a little more insight, if you want to be a little more informed, then I think you're going to enjoy this podcast. You want some humor, you want a little bit of sarcasm mixed in, this is the podcast for you. You can tune in, you can find us just about anywhere that you can find podcasts, whether it be iTunes, whether it be Podcast Republic, any of those places you can find us. Let someone else know. If you're enjoying the podcast and you like it, let a friend know. Let a coworker know. Let a family member know. We need to get some more people. Our numbers seem to be going up every single week, but let's get a few more. The bigger it gets, the better it gets. If you would like to contact me, get this stuff out of the way just right up front. If you would like to contact me, you can hit me at Twitter at Daily Dose Sports, D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Twitter, and I'll throw some stuff out there. I'll live tweet some games, or I'll put some thoughts out there if there's a big game or a big event or whatever. Same name for Facebook, Daily Dose Sports. If you would like to go over to our website, and I would encourage you, go check out the website. Number of new articles go up every week. We had an NBA draft preview that you might want to, if you didn't get to see that. We had NBA draft grades. If you didn't see, we went through and graded the draft. We had an NHL preview for their draft. Did you know the NHL had a draft? Yeah, you probably didn't know that. We actually previewed that draft, and it might be something that would entertain you a little bit. So go check out the website. It is dailydosesports.wordpress.com. Like I said, new articles go up every week. Go over, check it out. I think that you'll like them. If you would like to email the show directly, and I've told you in the past, I've received some emails. I've received some questions. I've received some stuff that's really, really good. Don't fear that he read it. He's not going to ever respond to it. We're not ever going to get anything back on that. We've got an email show coming up for you. We'll have that here in the next few weeks. If you would like to send me an email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, that will come right to the show, and we can get those emails. And if it's something good, if it's something that asks us a question that we were wondering about, or a question that I think has some insight or some different directions to it, we've had some really interesting stuff. The great thing about doing this show, and if you've never listened to the Daily Dose before, the great thing about doing the show, this goes back about 2 years ago, we have really intelligent listeners. It's not the average guy, oh yeah, let's go, rah-rah sports guy. It's not that. You want a little more insight. You're a little bit more, do I want to say you're a little bit more intelligent than the average sports fan? I'm going to say it. The listeners to this show, they're a little more informed than the average sports fan. And so the questions that I get are a little bit more informed. The questions that I get are a little more insightful. They have a little bit more thought behind them. And as a result, we're gonna have to do a show where we just read some emails, because I've received some really, really good stuff. Let's jump in, because we have a lot to get to today. Got a lot of things to talk about in the NBA. The NBA is moving and shifting and moving all over the place. Gonna break down the NBA draft that happened last week, and I'm gonna give you a few things that I looked at that with interest. A few things that I looked at and said, what were they thinking? Give you a couple teams that you might want to keep an eye on with their draft. A lot of players opting out right now. We've got free agency booming. Started just like 8 hours ago, 10 hours ago, something like that. And a lot of movement, it seems like, is going on in the NBA right now. Going to tell you which players I think are going to be leaving, who's going to re-sign, where they're going to re-sign, number of things we've got to get to there. Of course, we have, our typical, breaking news and some things like that. But I've got an announcement for you today that you are going to want to stick around for. Want to make sure that you hear the announcement I have for you today. And as usual, a very, very popular segment, we do have our Daily Dose Top 5 today. You do not want to miss that. Make sure you stick around for that Daily Dose Top 5. Always a popular segment. You never know which way it's going to go, but always seems to be the one thing. If I get feedback on anything from the Daily Dose, I always get feedback on the top five. People are like, oh, love the top five, really like the top five with this week. A lot of times it's suggestions. Hey, what about this? You could have went here. You could have went with that. Love the feedback. Love to hear from you. If you have any of those thoughts, feel free to hit me. Couple things coming out in breaking news. We've got a lot of movement. I told you in the NBA. Did you see the Women's World Cup team last night? Team USA knocks off Germany 2-0, and they are now headed to the finals on Sunday. And you know the funny part about it? The funny part about it to me was we looked at the game, and Carly Lloyd got a ton of credit, which she deserved. She deserved. But the two best players, I thought, last night changed the game completely were Alex Morgan and Hope Solo. And Alex Morgan didn't score, but she drew that penalty. Was it a penalty? Was it not? Was she in the box? Was she not? I know. It was close. It was close. She was into the box as the girl body blocked her. But she drew that penalty because she had started to get some offensive rushes. She had started to put pressure on Germany's defense, and eventually they had to take the penalty. Hope Solo, if you didn't watch the game, it is 0-0. It's about midway through the second half, and Germany draws a penalty in the box. Against Julie Johnson, who has been Team USA's best defender. They draw that penalty in the box, and they have a penalty kick with a score 0-0. Now, when they're lining up to take this kick, I'm sitting there going, this game's probably over. This game's probably over. You're lining up one of the best penalty kickers. I believe her name is Celia Sasek or something like that. She's one of the best penalty kickers in the game. Germany has never missed a penalty kick in regulation. This game's over. They're going to go up 1-0. Then they're just going to drop back, sag on defense, and USA isn't going to be able to generate any scoring opportunities. But when the kick went, when she kicked it wide of the goal. And I have to think the reason she kicked it wide is because she was a little bit worried that Hope Solo was going to get a piece of it. Because if you're not worried about the goal, you can kick right at the goalie. Maybe she'll dive out of the way. She was worried that Hope Solo was going to get to it. And so she tried to get the very, very edge, tried to stick it in the corner, and she kicked it wide. Not 5 minutes later, Team USA gets a penalty kick. Alex Morgan draws the penalty. And Carly Lloyd sticks one in the net. U.S. gets one late, and Team USA is headed onto the finals on Sunday. They will face the winner of England and Japan. So there were a lot of people that were saying, you're not going to beat Germany. You might be pretty good this year, but you're not going to beat Germany. They beat Germany. I don't know how they did it. The one thing that I will give Team USA credit for, and I don't want to spend all day talking on soccer, they have been very, very good defensively. And when you're playing very good defensively and you have a great, great goaltender behind you, that helps things a lot. And they do have that. I know Hope Solo's crazy. I get all that, but she's very, very good. Did you see that Nike chairman, Phil Knight, the man behind Nike, has decided that he is going to step down as company chairman? Knight is on Forbes magazine list of 50 richest people in the world, an estimated $24 billion. He said that, it's just time. He's 77 years old. He says it's time that he's going to step down and kind of start handing off some of his responsibilities to other people within the company. Does this change anything going on at Nike? Here's the one thing that had better not change. This had better not change because I won't lie. I do wear a lot of Nike. It's just kind of what we grew up with. It's just kind of what we had. Here's what I know. I better not see Nike slip with Phil Knight gone. Those 8-year-olds overseas had better keep, putting quality stitching on my Nike gear. Do not take a step back, Nike. I can't have those little kids over there working, 14-hour days, screwing up my t-shirts and my high tops or whatever they are. You better step up. Whoever's taking over for them, you make sure you crack that whip and you take care of that. Because we can't have a step back, Nike. You've got to step forward. Lot of news coming out in the NBA. New Orleans Pelicans are saying that they have a deal really, really close to extend Anthony Davis for 5 years. There's a lot of talk that maybe Davis wouldn't re-sign with New Orleans. Portland Trailblazers, sounds like they are nearing a max extension with Damian Lillard. Bulls are close to a three-year deal with Mike Dunleavy. LaMarcus Aldridge is meeting with a couple of different teams. We're going to talk about all that coming up because there's a lot of movement going on in the NBA, and I want to tell you what's really going on in the NBA because there are some things happening in the NBA, and I'm not sure that everybody is completely familiar with why free agents are moving the way they are, why players are opting out the way that they are. Going to talk about that in just a few minutes. I got an announcement for you. Need to get an announcement for you. You know, I told you in the last few weeks, I've told you how, let's be honest, we're getting into the dry part of the year. As soon as basketball ends, as soon as the NBA ends, and then you have the NBA draft, we just kind of have this lull. We just kind of have this, basketball's over, football hasn't started, and baseball really, to be honest, it's just not that interesting yet. We're not really into pennant races yet. We're not really into divisional really races. We're barely to 4th of July. And so it's kind of a tough part of the year. We've still got about a month until training camp hits. And now I can sit here. I won't lie. I can sit here and I can talk, you know, baseball pitching rotations and who should be, you know, in this batting order. But let's be honest. I guess there's other sports, I guess, going on. I could go out and we could talk some golf, talk some auto racing. I have some thoughts on auto racing every once in a while, but let's be honest. You don't want to hear that. And I'm going to be honest. I don't want to talk about it. So I've got a few different shows coming for you in the next few weeks. Over the next couple of weeks, we have a couple of different types of shows that are going to be coming out there. And they're going to be a little bit different. See if you like them. And we're going to go back to the regular format eventually. But we're going to just kind of shake things up a little bit because, like I said, this is the dead time of year. And as a sports fan, I don't want to just sit here and we talk about baseball. We talk about, races in baseball that really don't have any interest to me. I don't care. It's too early. It's such a long season. I could care less. Every once in a while, there's a story, and yes, we'll talk about that story. Or every once in a while, there's something going on that I'll look at and say, yes, that's of interest. But for the most part, I can't sit here and talk that stuff. So I have a couple things for you. Like I said, we're going to shake things up and give you a couple of different shows over the next few weeks. But in 2 weeks, July the 15th, we are going to bring to you our first annual awards show, the Daily Dose Awards show. We're going to call them the Dosies. And what we're going to do is we're going to hand out some awards. You know, it seems like every season, you know, whether it's football season, college hoops, NBA, whatever it might be, we do some awards for some of the bigger sports. I'm not going to do a postseason NHL. I don't think anyone would care that much. But we do hand out some awards. We are going to do an awards show. And we're going to hand out some yearly awards. We may hand out some lifetime achievement awards. You know how we do here at the Daily Dose. We have a couple of things coming for you. And in 2 weeks, the first annual Dosies will be coming up. You do not want to miss those. And like I said, I've got a couple other different shows that are going to be coming down the line that you want to make sure that you tune in for as well. Let's jump in today. NBA draft took place on Thursday night. And there were a couple of surprises that came out of the NBA draft. First pick on the clock, I think everybody knew who they were going to take. The Minnesota Timberwolves took Karl-Anthony Towns as number one. And I don't think there was ever any question about that. Karl-Anthony Towns looks like he's probably the best player in that draft. I think that the skills that he brings, the ceiling that he has, and to be very, very honest, the type of person that he seems like he is, seems like he's a kid that wants to work hard, seems like he's a kid that's going to come in and, you know, respond the correct way. I think Karl-Anthony Towns was number one easily. But then the Lakers kind of surprised some people. Because there was talk that they were going to go with the other big man, Jahlil Okafor, and they jump over and they take the point guard, D'Angelo Russell, out of Ohio State. Now, Russell is a great floor leader. He's not a real athletic guy. He's a big guy, very, very good in the pick and roll situation. Seems to always, he seems like he's very good at finding the mismatch, finding the one open man. He's a young point guard, so he's going to over dribble. He's going to dribble at times way too much, get himself into some trouble a little bit at the NBA level doing that. You might get away with that against Northwestern and Penn State, but you won't get away with that at the next level. But he's a big point guard, and it looks to me like the Lakers feel like they have to have a big-time point guard to compete in the West. When you think about the point guards that are over in the Western Conference in the NBA, Steph Curry, Chris Paul, Tony Parker, even guys like, you know, Mike Conley with Memphis, who is very, very tough, very tenacious player. Russell Westbrook, obviously. Feels like the Lakers said, hey, we see the direction this league is going. We have to get this guy while we can get him. Here's my only concern. Did you pass up a very good big man to get him? Because I realize that a great point guard, they're not always out there. Finding a great point guard, we used to always talk about you had to have a great front door to your team and you had to have a great back door to your team. Your front door was your point guard. Your back door was your big man. Both very, very important. But if you want a stable house, you had to have those two things. It just feels like there's other point guards out there. Great big men sometimes are a little bit rare. And it doesn't seem like you always see those guys out there. And my concern is that you may have reached just a little bit on this. Jahlil Okafor could be great. He could be great. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch how these players develop over the next few years and see which player develops, which player ends up being that guy when we look back at this draft. Because you look back at some of the drafts in the past, some interesting, interesting picks that go down. We're going to talk about a little bit more about that later in the show. Did you see, though, the Lakers' second-round pick? The Lakers, with their second-round pick, decided to go with Wyoming forward Larry Nance Jr. in the second round. Now, first off, I don't think Larry Nance Jr. is necessarily an NBA guy. I think he's a very, very athletic player, highly athletic player. I've seen him up close and in person. I've seen him play a little bit here at Wyoming. He's not, you know, obviously here in Denver. We get a number of those games. But you may have reached taking him at all because you probably could have just signed him for nothing. I don't think anyone else was going to draft him. Here's the problem with Larry Nance Jr. Here is the reason that I bring him up. Because the last time or recently, when the Lakers came to Denver to play the Nuggets, Larry Nance Jr. posted on his Twitter account, let's hope this time in Denver, Kobe Bryant can keep his hands to himself. Hashtag rapist. Hashtag rapist. I mean, you can say it. You can think it. I don't know if you want to put it out there when you might end up being his teammate. And that is exactly what happened. Now, Larry Nance Jr. is Kobe Bryant's teammate. Now, I have some good news, and I've got some bad news for Larry Nance Jr. The bad news is, it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to have to deal with Kobe. And I've heard that Nance has already reached out to Kobe. He's kind of trying to suck up to him. Mr. Bryant, I apologize for that. That was just, you know, a mistake I made. I was young. I was stupid. He's probably, when the Lakers go to lunch in the cafeteria, he's probably going to get tripped. He's going to get the tray knocked out of his hand. He's probably going to have to sit by himself at the cafeteria table. He's going to look like the stupid blonde girl in Orange is the New Black sitting by himself with no friends. Just know that is coming for him. But don't worry too much, Larry Nance Jr., because there is good news out there. It's not all bad. Not everything is bad, because let's be honest. You're only going to have to deal with Kobe for like 3 or 4 weeks, and then he's going to be hurt for the season anyways, isn't he? So you're not going to have to worry about it that much longer. It's going to be rough at first. It's going to be awkward. It's going to be uncomfortable at first, and then it's going to get a little bit better. Some interesting picks by the Los Angeles Lakers. Going to talk a little bit more about them in just a few minutes. So then, with the third pick, now you have the Philadelphia 76ers on the clock at 3. And in the past 2 years, they keep drafting big men. And they keep saying, okay, this time we really got our big men. Okay, this time we really got our big men. They wanted D'Angelo Russell. They wanted him badly. And now they're on the clock with already having drafted 7 foot Joel Embiid and 6'11 Nerlens Noel over the past 2 years. And now they're going, what do we do now? We can't pass up Okafor. We have to take him. There's not another, I mean, I guess they could reach and go with Emmanuel Mudiay, but that's kind of a reach at the three spot. So they take another big man. And now they have three big men. I don't know. I don't know what else you can do if you're Philly. It's a tough situation that they were in. Okafor could be better than either of the other two they already have. And both Noel and Embiid have an injury history. It doesn't seem like Okafor has that. I really like Okafor's game. I know defensively he has a long, long way to go, but offensively he does some really, really good things. And keep in mind that when he was playing at Duke, Duke was kind of protecting him. Duke was kind of hiding him. I don't know. I think the three best players in the draft probably went 1, 2, 3. They just might have kind of got mixed up out of order. Let's talk about some of the teams of the drafts, teams that had good drafts that I really did like. I really like the Houston Rockets draft. Sam Decker and people are going to be comparing, Sam Decker to Chandler Parsons because Parsons just left the Rockets and also because they're both white. They're not anything alike, really. Parsons was a very, very good passer who could shoot. We're not sure if Decker can shoot yet. We're going to have to see. At times, he looks like he can shoot, but it's not very consistent. But he is extremely athletic. He's way more athletic than Parsons will ever dream of being. He's 6'9", and he has like a 38-inch vertical. That's not anything like Chandler Parsons, aside, again, from being white and playing for the Rockets. The thing that I want to watch with Decker is if he can develop any kind of a post game with his quickness and his athleticism, he could create some matchup problems. Who do you put on him? Do you put a three on him? Do you put a four on him? If Decker can get that 3-point shot down where he can stretch you out, he becomes a little bit of a matchup problem. Keep an eye on that. Then they end up getting Montrezl Harrell, the forward out of Louisville, who is a guy that just plays hard. I don't know if Harrell's that talented. I really don't. I don't want to compare him to a Zach Randolph. He's not quite that, but he's not overly talented. He just works extremely hard. And so as a result, and he was a guy that they were talking about in the first round. Houston picks him up in the second round. I thought the Houston Rockets had a very, very good draft. I know it's probably the easiest one to pick up, but the Miami Heat, somehow Justice Winslow falls to them at 10. And you know what it reminded me of when I saw Winslow fall that far? It reminded me of that year, what was that, like 2007 or whatever it was, when the Cavaliers get LeBron James, and then Detroit takes Darko, and we don't know why. And then at 3, the Nuggets take Carmelo Anthony. And everyone kind of forgot about the draft after that. He was like, okay, you had LeBron and you had Carmelo, and those were the two big names. And in this draft, it kind of seemed like there were the three big names. You had Okafor, you had Anthony Towns, and then you had Russell. And then after that, everyone kind of forgot. And Winslow, meanwhile, is just dropping, and he's falling. And people are grabbing a European player. Let's grab this player. I'm going to grab this player. And somehow Justice Winslow falls to 10. You know, Dwayne Wade fell to 5 that year after Chris Bosh at 4. Kind of quietly. No one was really paying much attention to him. Winslow is a really, really tough defender who can slash and finish at the basket and hurt you in a couple different ways. Does that sound familiar at all? He sounds a lot like Dwayne Wade, doesn't it? Kind of looks like Dwayne Wade a little bit, the way he attacks the basket at times. He has to become a more consistent scorer. He has to develop a more consistent 3-point shot. But the thing that is funny to me is I heard so many people in the draft, so many draft experts, and they were saying, well, I really like Justice Winslow. I like his toughness. I like his defense. I like some of the things he brings to the table. He's a winner. He does some of these things. But I don't know if he's a 2 or a 3. Who cares? What do I care what if he's a 2 or a 3? Do I have to put a certain number on his jersey? What difference does it make if he's a 2 or a 3? Let me ask you this. What is Kobe? Is he a 2 or a 3? What is LeBron James? Is he a 1, a 4, a 2? I have no idea. I don't care what he is. I could care less. That is the stupidest argument I have ever heard for why you wouldn't draft a guy. Because you don't know what position he plays. You know what position he plays? He plays the guy that I give the ball to. He plays the position of, he shuts down your best player. That's the position he plays. That is the stupidest. Again, sometimes the sports media doesn't quite get it. Sometimes the sports media doesn't understand. I want my best five players on the floor. I don't care if it's two fives, a three, and a one. I don't care. Give me my best players. He's tough. Justice Winslow is a tough kid. He is a physical defender. He's a good a slasher off with the dribble. Give me a guy like that, and I'll figure out what position he plays later. I could care less. I don't care. Dumb. Phoenix. I like the Phoenix Suns draft, and I'm a little bit slow to you know give Phoenix a ton of credit, but Devin Booker is only 18, shooting guard out of Kentucky. He might have been the best shooter in the draft. Might have been the best shooter in the entire draft. He should fit in very, very well with this group. I know that Goran Dragic looks like he's going to go back to Miami, but the group in Phoenix with Eric Bledsoe, with Isaiah Thomas, they're scoring about 102 points a game. Devin Booker can come in and contribute to that right away. Very, very good long-range shooter. I know his shooting seemed like it declined a little bit later in the season as they started to face tougher competition, but it's probably going to improve and become more consistent in the NBA. Here is my only concern for the Phoenix Suns. I do have one concern with the Phoenix Suns, and I like some of what they've built down there. I think that they are becoming a dangerous team. They seem like they've been right at the edge of making the playoffs. I kind of like what they're building, but keep this in mind. You've got Eric Bledsoe. You now have Devin Booker. You have Archie Goodwin. You have Brandon Knight. All from Kentucky. And what I worry about is how long can you keep these guys happy? How long can you keep this group in Phoenix happy? I'm not talking about number of shots. I'm not talking about, hey, I'm not getting my touches. I'm not getting my looks. I'm not getting the number of shots that I want. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about financially, because you know full well these guys are taking a huge pay cut from Kentucky. These boys are living hand to mouth in the NBA. No longer on the Calipari payroll. Are you kidding me? It's all these guys can do just to get through the day. Times is tough, man. The struggle is real in Phoenix. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the New York Knicks draft. And I'm not putting them on my list of teams that I don't like, but I want to talk a little bit about them because it's easy to pile on the Knicks right now. And I understand it. They draft the kid out of, what, Latvia, Kristaps Porzingis, who... I don't know. I don't know what to believe. I haven't watched enough European basketball, I guess. The Lithuanian League and the Latvian League and all those leagues, I didn't get around to watching all those. They draft Porzingis. They say this kid is a gunner. They say he's got the prettiest shot in the draft. He's a huge kid. He's a good-sized kid. But when they draft him, the locals there in New York go completely crazy, boo him. I don't know who they wanted. I don't know if they wanted Moutier. I don't know if they wanted Winslow. I don't know what the pick was that they wanted. But they didn't want the European player. And we saw the booing. We saw the little nerd up in the stands crying and taking selfies and beating himself over the head and just super, super upset. Porzingis might end up being a player. I don't have any idea if he can play. But the Knicks draft isn't their problem. Because then they went out and picked up Notre Dame point guard, Jerian Grant, who I personally think might be one of the best point guards in the draft. I saw him play. I saw him play at a high level. And he's pretty tough. The problem isn't the draft for the Knicks. The problem is what's already there. You have a huge mess there. And you had Carmelo Anthony complaining about the Porzingis pick. Why are we picking a project? I came here to win. I want to win right away. Why are we picking a project? This is your fault, Melo. This is completely your fault. Remember when you opted out of Denver because you wanted to go be on the big stage? Well, you're on the big stage now. Remember last year when you could have signed with Chicago for more money, but you wanted all that money? Well, you got that money now, so I don't want to hear your complaining about who they draft. They can give away their draft picks for all I care. You have no say in it whatsoever because you made this bed. This is Carmelo's bed that he made. He made it. He maxed out the money, so he gets to sleep in it. I don't care about that. Now, I want to talk about a couple of the drafts that I don't like. And it's hard to look at some of these players because I can look at a player and say he may end up being a very good player. Depending on the situation, depending on what he does, he could end up being a good player, but I can still look at the draft and say that's not a good fit, though. That's not what you needed. Why did you go this way? One of the teams I look at right away when I look at this draft, as far as players that I just didn't think fit very well, was the Boston Celtics. We keep hearing again and again and again, and we're constantly being told how, Boston general manager Danny Ainge is this gunslinger. He's not afraid to make the trade. He's not afraid to pull the trigger and get these trades. He's stockpiling all these picks. I don't care if you stockpile all these picks. If he drafts like he did last Thursday night, you can have as many picks as you want. I don't care. So the other night, they're on the clock. They pick Terry Rozier, point guard out of Louisville. Now, first off, Rozier is a player that you might have got late in the first, maybe early in the second. Defensive point guard, not great offensively, pretty tough defensively. But the Celtics already have Marcus Smart. And they have an offensive point guard in Isaiah Thomas. Why would you not go get some help for your front court? You had Justin Anderson out there from Virginia. You had Bobby Portis out there. You had Rondae Hollis Jefferson out there. You had Kevin Looney out there, who ended up falling clear to the end of the round. Why on earth would you go pick a player at a position that you do have? There's plenty of positions that the Celtics don't have covered. That was one that they actually have. And they go pick another one. That I didn't understand that pick at all. Really, really strange. The other team I didn't like, another one I didn't like, it was the Indiana Pacers. They go get Miles Turner, the big man out of Texas, who's one of his biggest problems. He's just not very strong. He's been a little bit injury prone. He's got a really, kind of soft lower body. He's not going to be able to get down on the block and just stick down there. And he put up most of his numbers that he put up against bad teams in the Big 12. So why would you go take that guy? Here's the other problem. He's not very, very good offensively. They say he can step out and shoot the three. I don't know if that's necessarily true. He's better at, because he's such a big guy, I think he's 7 feet, he's better at just being a defensive kind of guy, changes shots inside, he can get you some rebounds. But don't you already have Roy Hibbert? I mean, you have that exact guy. Hibbert's just a bigger, stronger version of him. You have that same guy. You just took Miles Turner on the off chance that maybe he'll develop a three-point shot? That was your mentality? Well, hey, he's a bit of a project, but what if we get Roy Hibbert with a three-point shot? I don't think I want him either. We've already seen how that story ends, haven't we? Why would I go get this player? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't understand it. These are smart guys in these front offices, right? I don't understand some of the moves that they make. The Atlanta Hawks, they traded away their pick. They went and got Kelly Oubre from Kansas, who I was not that thrilled of. He's a guy that disappears at stretches, kind of flaky at times, doesn't always show up. But they traded him for Tim Hardaway Jr. So basically what the Atlanta Hawks did was they drafted Tim Hardaway Jr. at the 15 pick. That's not a good deal. I've got news for you. That's a bad deal. Tim Hardaway Jr., like 3 years ago at the 15 pick, might have been an okay move. Now, I don't know. What does he do? I realize that the Cavaliers just went to the finals with, the Knicks castoffs. They had the J.R. Smiths. They had the Iman Shumperts. Probably not the best plan for winning a championship or getting to the finals. I guess Atlanta looked at that and they were like, well, hey, Cleveland did it. Maybe we should just get some Knicks guys. That seemed like it worked for them. I didn't understand that whatsoever. A little bit weird. Hey, there's word coming out of Sacramento. You know, and Sacramento drafted Willie Cauley-Stein. And there are aspects to Willie Cauley-Stein's game that I like. I don't like him with Sacramento. I think that's a bad match. I think that is a poor choice. And I think they already have DeMarcus Cousins. They already have a guy who can put up numbers, is kind of a knucklehead, little bit of a head case, doesn't get along with his head coach. Now you have Willie Cauley-Stein, who is a less offensive, and I don't mean offensive, a less offensive version of DeMarcus Cousins. He's not quite as good offensively. You still kind of get maybe some of the head case stuff. I'm not sure. We'll see if he butts heads with George Karl or not. And he's not quite as good. He's not going to score from as many areas as someone like Cousins will. But you have Cousins right now who is feuding with head coach George Karl. And Kings ownership has said a couple of things that I find a little bit strange. Just a little bit strange. See, the Kings owners, and remember, these are the same owners. This is the same owner. I think his name is like Vivek Ranavid or something. I don't know. He bought out the Maloof brothers a few years ago. This is the same guy that was talking about maybe we should, you know, start thinking about only putting four guys back on defense and always have one guy down to just get automatic offense. So as soon as we get the rebound or you score, we just throw it down the floor. This is that same guy. Maybe that sounds good in a boardroom. It's cute and it's kind of funny to talk about, but that doesn't work in the real world. He has said a couple things that are a little bit odd. There were some rumors coming out that possibly Sacramento might try to look at trading DeMarcus Cousins to maybe the Lakers for D'Angelo Russell. They might trade him to the Nuggets for Ty Lawson. They were going to look at moving DeMarcus Cousins. And there was talk that, hey, we're going to try to ship him. We're going to try to get something for him. We're going to move it. Here's the problem. When teams know you don't want somebody, they are less likely to give you what you want for them because they know you want to get rid of them anyway. And they may have kind of, you know, had those rumors out there a little too quickly saying we may want to move DeMarcus Cousins. And that's a bit of a problem. It's a bit of a problem because then people start going, well, maybe we'll give you like a third round or a second round, or we'll give you a fourth round pick in the NBA draft when it only runs two rounds. Because we know you want to get rid of him anyways. We know you think he's a problem child. He is a problem child, and we don't really want him that bad. Well, now the story has kind of changed coming out of Sacramento, and I have to think it's from this nut owner. Because now he is taking the stance that they're not going to move DeMarcus Cousins. They are going to keep him, and instead, they're looking at doing one of two things. They are looking at firing George Karl, their head coach. Couple problems with firing George Karl. First off, you're going to still have to pay him. Are they still paying Mike Malone? They might still be paying Mike Malone. So then you're going to be paying three coaches. Now, you knew when you hired George Karl, you knew what you were getting. You knew you were getting a guy that sometimes butts heads with his players. Butted heads with Carmelo Anthony. Butted heads with Gary Payton. Butted heads with everybody he's ever coached. But he gets them to play. And they play at a high level, and he wins. If you didn't know what you were getting with George Karl, then you're not very smart. You're not a very smart owner. You didn't make a very good business decision, because that's who George Karl is. That's what he does. Now, the Kings are saying they might fire George Karl, and they might hire John Calipari. John Calipari from the University of Kentucky, and that they would pay him around $10 million a year. People are going to be reporting this. You're going to be hearing this on the big networks today, and they're going to be saying, hey, they're looking at it. They might get Calipari, $10 million. Let's think about this for a minute. You're already paying George Karl like $8 million. Now you're going to pay another coach $10 million? And they might still be paying Mike Malone. I'm not sure if they still are. I know that they fired him too. So you could be paying three coaches. Which, in and of itself, is really, really stupid. But okay, let's fast forward past that and just put the stupidity aside. What about the Sacramento job would make Calipari want to come? Why on earth would John Calipari want to come coach the Sacramento Kings? He has it made in Kentucky. He just rolls them out and he can get to like a Final Four every single year. He's being paid huge money. You can't say, well, we can pay him just so much more money. It's not that much more money than he's making. He's got plenty of money. And yes, I do think Calipari probably feels like he has some unfinished business at the NBA level. I get that. I understand that. Do you think he's going to fulfill that with Sacramento? No one wants to come to Sacramento. I don't know how they got George Karl. They ought to be happy they even have him. Here's the other thing. You somehow are thinking that Calipari and is going to fix Cousins? Who's to say that they got along? It's not like they have this wonderful relationship. It's not like we consider and say, well, DeMarcus Cousins, he played his best, really, when he was playing for John Calipari. I don't even know if they got along that well. I mean, they coexisted. That's about as much as I know. But Cousins is a problem child. He's not going to get along with anybody. He's not going to especially get along with anybody who tells him what to do. And George Karl is going to do that. And so is John Calipari. This feels to me like a smokescreen. This feels to me like Sacramento is trying to convince people we might find a way to make this work and we don't really want to trade him anymore. No, I think you still do want to trade him. I think you absolutely want to trade him. Because why else would you draft Willie Cauley-Stein, who basically plays the same position? It wouldn't make any sense. I think this is all smokescreen so that Sacramento somehow gets a chance to deal DeMarcus Cousins. Let's see if he gets dealt to Denver for Ty Lawson. George Karl likes Ty Lawson. Ty Lawson, to me, is a guy who just doesn't quite get it. Never quite wants to be the leader. Doesn't want to be the guy that steps up and says, hey, follow me. We're going to do it this way. And I don't care if you do it vocally, but you have to do it at some point. Speaking of the Nuggets get Emmanuel Mudiay. Big, strong kid. Can't really shoot that well. Turns it over way too often. I've heard comparisons to someone like John Wall. But the problem here in Denver is it's the same as the Knicks. The situation here is so bad, I don't know if it matters how good Mudiay is. The local management here is saying Denver is a big player in some of those, you know, some of those big free agents that are out there. Yeah, sure they are. And while they're at it, I have a big orange bridge in the San Francisco Bay Area that I'd like to sell you, if you believe that. Because Denver isn't a player for anybody on the free agent market. They're lucky they can keep the players they have. They're not a player whatsoever because this dumpster fire isn't going to get fixed anytime soon. Mudiay can play a little bit. I like some of what he brought to the game. If you don't remember him, he was a kid coming out of high school that really, really looked big. Family is originally from the Congo. And when he was going to go to college, he was going to go to SMU. He was signed to go play for Larry Brown at SMU. Would have been great for a kid like this. Would have been great. But financially, because of his family situation, he needed to go get paid. So he went over to China and played in the Chinese league for the past year, where he got, you know, like a couple million bucks. Not a horrible deal. Here's the problem with Mudiay. In China, one, you don't get much coaching over there. And two, you don't play much. You play like 2 or 3 days a week. And other than that, you basically sat around doing nothing. So you have a kid who's probably regressed a little bit from his senior year in high school when he was playing at least reasonably decent competition somewhat every day. Over there, not the same situation. I think Mudiay will be a solid player at some point. I know there's a lot of people jumping on. He's going to be an all-star. He's going to be – the local media here in Denver is amazing. It's amazing because for a franchise that never does anything, you get a ton of support from your local media out here in Denver. The Nuggets are so awful, and every move they make is praised here with the local media constantly. I can't understand it. I don't know if they have some sort of a handshake deal behind the scenes where they say, hey, make sure you build us up. I don't get it. I've said from the beginning, the Nuggets are a mess, and they'll continue to be a mess. It's just a mess of a franchise. It's the way they do business. You're starting to hear a number of players opting out of their deals. And I want to explain a little bit of what's going on because you're going to get a lot of people say, oh, they want to jump for more money. They want to go do here. They want to be with this team. They want to be with that team. couple of things. Let's clarify a few things with why players opt out and the reason that they do what they do. First off, let's get this on the table. These players all talk to each other. They all know each other very, very well. They have communication with, you know, like a year or two ago, maybe 2 years ago, I was out in Vegas and I went to a small gymnasium just off the strip. And if I told you where it was, you'd be like, I've driven by there. I know where that's at. There's about 20, 30 NBA players in there. And they're all just playing pickup. It's like late summer. And they're all just in there playing pickup ball. Walked in there, just watched some NBA guys play for a while. I kind of knew where the spot was. And watched these guys. I mean, these guys are big. They're hanging out. They're talking. They're saying, where are you going to go next year? You want to come with me out to here? You want to go with me? So don't think that these NBA players are on an island and they're just like, oh, I don't know. Maybe so-and-so is going to come out. They're all talking. There's all communication. Here's the thing, though, with players opting out right now. There's about to be some new contracts coming in. There's about to be a new TV contract in the NBA, and as a result, there's about to be a new salary cap in the NBA. The salary cap is about to go way up in a year. And so when you see all these players that are saying they want to opt out because they want a one-year deal, they want a one-year deal, they want a one-year deal, everybody wants a one-year deal right now. Because if you're signing a three-year deal or a five-year deal, you're going to miss that bigger money that's coming out next year. And so you're seeing a lot of these guys that are saying, I just want to do a one-year deal, and then next year I'll do that three-year deal because it's going to be worth a lot more money then. And so we're seeing players like Kevin Love. Kevin Love with Cleveland. He opted out. He can sign a one-year, and then next summer, with that salary cap going up, he can sign the three or the five, and his money's going to go way, way, way up. Love is talking to the Lakers. Obviously, he's talking with Cleveland. Going to talk a little bit more about that in just 1 second. You saw LeBron James opt out. Now, a couple of reasons for LeBron James to opt out of his contract. One, by opting out of his contract, he can actually pick up a little bit more change. He can pick up like 500 grand for opting out of his contract and having them re-sign him. So that is worth it. Who doesn't want 500 grand, right? That's another house for him or something. I don't know. So it helps him financially to opt out and then re-sign. That's just LeBron's deal. But let's be real clear about LeBron James and why he opted out. Do you remember a few years ago when he left Cleveland? And he decided to take his talents to South Beach, and Cavs owner Dan Gilbert took out that newspaper ad, and he said that, you know, LeBron's a punk and he's a traitor, and we're never going to forget this, and we're going to win a championship before he does because he's a loser, and that's who he is, and that's what he'll always be. Do you remember that? Because you know who remembers it? Oh, LeBron James sure remembers it. I'll promise you LeBron James remembers it. And so when he opted out, the reason for him opting out is so he can force Cleveland management, you're either going to go get me some help, you're going to go sign the Kevin Loves, you're going to go be in the bidding for, you know, a LaMarcus Aldridge or a Dwayne Wade or whoever it might be. You're going to get out there and sign Tristan Thompson to a max deal or else I'm leaving. The only reason he opted out is so he collects that extra money and he can put the ownership of Cleveland, he can put their feet to the fire and force them to pay that luxury tax, which they will have to pay. Understandable. I get it. Did you see Scottie Pippen this week? Speaking of LeBron James, Scottie Pippen made the statement that he was LeBron before LeBron. I like Scottie Pippen. I don't think Scottie Pippen is one of the 50 greatest like he was voted, but I like Scottie Pippen a lot. They're not similar. I guess physically they're both about 6'8". LeBron outweighs him by about 90 pounds. That's not a very good comparison though, Scottie. And if you tell me you can have either Scottie Pippen or LeBron James, I'm going to think about it. I'll probably pick LeBron, but I'm going to think about it at least a little bit. LeBron can just hurt you so many different ways. Scottie's a way better defender though. Way better defender. But their game wasn't similar. Scottie Pippen was a defender. He was a guy that could hurt you in a lot of different ways, slashing. LeBron is more comparable to Magic. He's a passer. He's a distributor. Now, I'm not going to say he's the winner that Magic was, but he, to be fair, he wasn't surrounded with the talent that Magic was either. Magic was, you know, passing to Hall of Famers. It's a little easier. But he's more comparable to Magic than he was to Pippen. Pippen didn't play that style. Again, they might be a little bit similar physically, aside from the 90 pounds, from the one, you know, small person difference, but their game wasn't similar. Pippen didn't play that way. He wasn't the guy. He could score a little bit from the outside, but he wasn't going to go out there and go for 40 in a playoff game. That wasn't Pippen's game. He didn't do that. Sorry, getting off topic there. Dwayne Wade opted out, and you know, Dwayne Wade is a guy that, this is where players get a bad rap. This is where players kind of get a little bit of a raw deal. Because, you know, these players, sometimes they sit there and they say, hey, I'll take less money so we can go sign some guys and let's go win a championship. And that's what Dwayne Wade did. He took less money. They brought in LeBron. They brought in Chris Bosh. And they won two titles. And then, when Dwayne Wade is old and can hardly run anymore and needs shots in those knees to get up out of bed, he says, hey, where's my money? Remember, I deferred that money so we could win? And the Heat say, yeah, I don't really remember that. Did you do that? Seems like a long time ago. I don't know. Dwayne Wade is owed some money. They probably should get him paid, and he wants to get paid. Here's the problem for Dwayne Wade. They're talking about like a 3-year, $45 million deal. Okay? And I think that's what he wants. I don't think that gets the deal done, because I think he thinks next year he could get 3 years and $55 million. He could get 3 years and $60 million. Do you see the problem? Do you see the problem with that salary cap jumping up next year? So I think he just wants a 1 year. And unless you're just going to pay him big money, if you'll come in and give him three and $48 million, then maybe he'll say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll just take it. He gave up money to bring in those guys. LaMarcus Aldridge is a guy that has opted out up in Portland. I told you toward the end of the season, I thought he was going to opt out. Didn't like the way things were going in Portland. Didn't look like. What I want to know from LaMarcus Aldridge is, what is it he wants? Because he was the big dog up in Portland. And I think he still wants to be that big dog, but he wants to win too. The teams that they're talking about, though, are the Lakers and the Spurs. So do you really want to win, or do you want to say you want to win? Because I've got news for you. You're not going to win with the Lakers, not yet. It may be coming down the road, and I know that if it's not coming soon, the NBA will fix it so it is coming, because they want the Lakers to be a winner so bad they're not above fixing games and fixing lotteries for the Lakers. I understand all of that. But if you sit there and say, I really, really want to win, so I'm going to go be a Laker, then I'm not going to believe anything you say. If you really want to win, you'll go be a Spur. Here's the thing that's starting to make me think about something though. When I hear that Kevin Love and LaMarcus Aldridge are both thinking about being Lakers, it makes me think something's up. And you know what I think might be up? I think that management and Mitch Kupchak out in Los Angeles are telling these guys, hey, Kobe is done. Kobe is done. We just got to get through this year and Kobe is done. Because none of these guys want to play with Kobe Bryant. And you can spin that however you want. You can say, no, that's not the case. They all wanted to play. No, nobody wants to play with Kobe. Personally, he's kind of a jerk. That's one thing. We can separate the personal side of it. Professionally, he's not as good anymore. So not only is he kind of a jerk to deal with every day, but he's sucking up all the money and he's not producing, because we know he's going to be hurt by December again this year. These aren't injuries that he's getting of, hey, just a freak thing. One in a million shot, Doc. No! These are injuries of old age, and he's going to have another one soon. So when I hear these players that are talking about, we might sign with the Lakers, that tells me the ownership is saying, hey, one way or the other, after this year, Kobe Bryant is gone. He's gone. And I'll guarantee you that. Just come sign with us. He's going to be gone. I don't know. Keep an eye on where LaMarcus Aldridge goes. Does he really want to win? Does he want to say he wants to win? Mark Gasol is a guy that is a free agent right now. You know, he went to high school in Memphis. He likes it in Memphis. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. Tim Duncan, obviously, he's opted out, but he's a free agent. He'll be with the Spurs. We all know how that goes. Jimmy Butler is another name that you are going to hear. He's a restricted free agent, and the Bulls are able to match any offer that's out there. He's going to ask for huge, huge money. And he's going to get huge, huge money. But even if another team comes in and offers Jimmy Butler anything, the Bulls could match it to try to keep him. I don't think he'll get out of Chicago. as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. And I know we've been very, very NBA heavy. The NBA is you know, wrapping up and finishing up. We have the draft. We have all this free agent stuff happening. We've got to go with an NBA top five today. Our NBA top five today, and it's hard to tell. It's really, really hard to tell. We're going to go with the top five NBA draft busts of all time. And the thing about this, when I look at the NBA draft this year, we can look at some of these players. We can look at some of these guys that were drafted in the first round, and I promise you, there's going to be a few busts. I'll guarantee there's going to be a few busts. Some of these guys will never, ever amount to being players. It might be because they're lazy. It might be because they don't have a drive. It might be because they get injured. It might be because they just are in the wrong system. You never know what it's going to be. Now, when I look at busts, it's easy to look at some of these guys and say, hey, a great player was taken after them, and so you're a bust. Look at a guy like Sam Bowie. Sam Bowie gets drafted back in the day. He's the second pick after Hakeem Olajuwon. With the second pick, Portland takes Sam Bowie. And then with the third pick, the Chicago Bulls take Michael Jordan. He'll always be linked with Michael Jordan. But Sam Bowie wasn't a horrible player. I think he played in the league like 10 years. He had like over 5,000 points in his career. He had a number of injuries. But because he was picked before Michael Jordan, that's the thing that we always remember. Now, the guys that I'm going to name you, we'll talk about some of the people that were picked after them. But the guys I'm going to name you, they were busts because they probably should never have been picked to begin with. They had some issues. They had some problems. There were some flaws with their game. And you know, these guys on draft night, these really, really smart guys, they say, well, no, this is the pick. This is the guy. This is who we should take. It makes the most sense. Well, let's just see. Number five on our list, Daily Dose top five NBA draft busts. And I had to stay local on one of these. You knew I was going to go with something in Denver on one of these because of the horrible franchise that is the Denver Nuggets. Number five. Now, he's taken a little bit later in the draft. That's not the point. 1978 NBA draft, with the number 17 pick, the Denver Nuggets select Rod Griffin from Wake Forest. Rod Griffin? Who's that? Who's Rod Griffin? Let me tell you why you don't know who Rod Griffin is. Because he didn't even make the opening day roster. He was with the team a few weeks, and they cut him. Number 17 pick. I'm not talking about second round. Number 17 pick in the entire draft. At the time, I think the NBA only consisted of like 22 teams. 17 pick in the entire draft. Didn't make the opening day roster and never played. Career over. Your season's over. Your career's over. Never got on the floor a single time in a true NBA game. After him, let me give you two players that were selected after Rod Griffin that the Nuggets could have had. They could have had a point guard by the name of Maurice Cheeks, who went on to have a phenomenal career with Philadelphia 76ers. They could have had Wayne Cooper, who at least was a serviceable big man, but instead they went with Rod Griffin. Rod Griffin never made a roster, never played a minute of true NBA basketball. Number four, with the number two pick in the 2009 draft, the Memphis Grizzlies select out of UConn, Hashim Thabeet. Now, Hashim Thabeet had some red flags when he came out, when he was coming out of college. He had some red flags when he was at UConn. There was a game at UConn late when they were playing back there. He was playing for Jim Calhoun, where he kind of quit. He like wouldn't get off the bench, and Calhoun and him were having words, and there were some issues. Hashim Thabeet just kind of quit. And then when he got to the league, everyone's like, yeah, but look at what he has defensively. He does so much. He was such a long guy. He was so athletic. He played with four different teams in 5 years. He averaged 2.2 points per game for his career and was out of the league. Was out of the league by 2013. Totally done. Hashim Thabeet gets our number four slot. Number three on our list of NBA draft busts, we got to go back to 1972. Again, those Portland Trailblazers, they always seem to have a tough time. You know, in 1972, Portland selects a guy by the name of LaRue Martin. LaRue Martin was a 6'11" big man coming out of Loyola in Chicago. And his situation was, it wasn't that he had like a drug problem. It wasn't that he was lazy. It wasn't that he had any of these issues with that some of these guys have. He just wasn't very good. And as a result, LaRue Martin lasted just 4 seasons and he was out of the league by 1976. Averaged 5 points per game. And here's the sad part for LaRue Martin. By 76, he was out of the game. And that was the year that Portland went on and won the NBA championship. But let me give you 2 players that were selected after LaRue Martin. Sorry, Portland. I know this hurts. Bob McAdoo. You might have heard of him. And then the New Jersey Nets selected a guy by the name of, Julius Erving. Ooh, that hurts. That hurts a little bit when you hear those 2 names. Moving on to our number 2 pick. In the 1986 draft, the Golden State Warriors select with the number 3 pick overall out of North Carolina State, Chris Washburn. And Chris Washburn was a guy that there were huge red flags on drafting. He had been in trouble at school when he was at Carolina State. He had, like, I don't know, broken into a house and stolen a stereo or something. In the NBA, he failed 3 different drug tests 3 different times, ended up in rehab, had a cocaine addiction, all kinds of problems for Chris Washburn. Played for 3 different teams in just 2 seasons, averaged 3 points a game, and was completely out of the league by 1989. Chris Washburn gets our number 2 pick on our Daily Dose Top 5 NBA Draft Bust. Our number 1 player. I feel bad putting this guy at number 1. I feel bad putting this guy at number 1, but I have to. Number 1 on our list, NBA Draft Bust, 2007 again, Portland. Portland, why do you keep doing this? You need to hire new draft people, Portland. I'm available for the right price. Portland Trailblazers select out of Ohio State center 7-foot Greg Oden. Greg Oden was a guy, and I'll be honest, when this draft was coming out, I was looking at Oden going, no, dude can play. I saw him play at Ohio State. Can run the floor, very, very good defensively. He'll work hard for you, can rebound, can be a monster at the rim. I liked a lot of what Greg Oden had and what he brought to the table. The problem with Greg Oden, he can't stay healthy. 2 microfracture surgeries, really, really early in his career. He can never get healthy. And then after he had the 1 microfracture, he just blew the other one out. So then he had the ACL and had to have that surgery. Just can never get healthy. He has played a part in just 3 seasons, has a total of 540 NBA points. Couple players that were picked after him. Of course, the big name you always remember, Kevin Durant, was taken with the 2nd pick. Marc Gasol, Joakim Noah, Al Horford. Portland. Again, you have got to redo the way you draft people. Anytime Portland drafts someone, you have to be just a little bit nervous for them. Hey, next week, you know, every week we do a top 5. And a top 5, I've told you, the Daily Dose Top 5 is always a very, very popular segment. You know, next week, I think we're going to do a few top 5s. I've got a few top 5s I want to talk about next week. We're going to rank a few different things. We're going to rate a few different things. We may have a few top 5s. I told you, we're going to take care of you over the summer through these tough, dry months in July. We'll have you. And then in 2 weeks, do not forget, we will host the first annual Dosey Awards. Trust me, you really don't want to forget that. Hey, subscribe if you get a chance. Subscribe to the podcast. That does help us. If you get a chance, give us a rating and a review. 5-star rating and review really, really do help. We've had a couple could use some more, and they do help us get into that new and upcoming podcast. Would appreciate that so much. If you have a coworker, you have a family member, you have a friend that enjoys sports, make sure you tune them into the Daily Dose. I think they will enjoy it. As usual, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this without you. Want to thank you all for listening. I do appreciate it so much. I will see you all next week for a few more top 5s than we normally get. I will see you all next week. Have a great week, everybody.
There's no easy way to say what we're about to say.
We believe your wife is a German spy.
This year, the truth will be discovered.
I know for a fact you'll be proven wrong.
Allied, starring Brad Pitt and Marion Cotillard. Allied, in cinemas November 25th, rated TBC.
Hey, what happened to my kiss?